It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
The Declaration of Independence is a document proclaiming the independence of the 13 English colonies in America. The Declaration was adopted by the Continental Congress on July 4, 1776. In it are these words: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Well, the word unalienable or inalienable rights means that it's impossible to take away. In other words, not able to be transferred or taken away because of being protected by law. Well, the First Amendment says this: "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." Now, Thomas Jefferson made this statement, and he was the President of the United States, January 1st, 1802. He made this address to the Danbury Baptists. He said, "The First Amendment has erected a wall of separation between church and state, but that wall is a one-directional wall. It is meant to keep the government from running the church, but it makes sure that Christian principles will always stay in government." This was Thomas Jefferson, President of the United States, who said that. George Washington said this from his farewell address to the nation. He said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizen." End of quote by George Washington. Now, we started losing physically life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness when God was taken out of the affairs of man in our generation. The example is this: the Bible, prayer, history, respect for the flag, our country, and the only true living God removed from public schools, the blood, the book, the blessed hope, gone from many gatherings called churches. The home where parents, husbands, and wives used to be male and female are now who knows what. New York City at this time now recognizes at least 31 genders. Man may be able to change some things on this earth, but man can never change what God has for those who place their trust in Him. The Declaration of Independence says unalienable or inalienable, impossible to take away. You see, God never changes. Saved people are protected by His law. He does not take away what He gives. Well, an illustration about life in Christ is this, and you may have heard the following. This is an old saying: if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But you see, our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. It is true that God wants all of us to have these three wonderful gifts: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. First, you know, God gives life. God gives everlasting life according to the Word of God. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We read further in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, God gives abundant life according to John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, this is Jesus speaking, and that they might have it more abundantly. See, God gives abundant life, and he also gives abundant grace. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 says, For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Well, God gives abundant pardon as well. Abundant peace. 37:11 of Psalm talks about this. Abundant joy. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. And we could go on and on listing these things. Abundant pardon. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. God says, Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God gives us peace according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. It's abundant peace. It says there, And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, and the joy that comes of knowing Jesus as Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Oh, it doesn't stop there. God gives abundant satisfaction. Psalm 36:8 says, They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. He also gives abundant power. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And I also see an abundant entry. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, it says, For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, where? Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is something to really get excited about and to really praise God for. You see, God offers us life, and God also offers us liberty. Jesus Christ was sent into the world to proclaim liberty to the captives, according to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And then we look in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Once again, it says, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You see, we are all captives of sin, servants of sin, before Christ sets us free. John chapter 8 and verse 34 says, Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And then John chapter 8 and verse 36 says, If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Thank God, when we trust Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, we can say, Christ hath made me free indeed. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Jesus Christ was not only sent to give us liberty, he was also sent into the world to free us from sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 18, Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, you know something else that he set us free from, and that is Satan. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and that's Satan, and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. Jesus Christ has set us free from Satan. He's also set us free from self. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the Spirit. And then in verse 24 and 25 of chapter 5 of Galatians, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And verse 24 and 25, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, Peter Marshall, before the U.S. Senate, said it ever so well in a proper way many years ago. He said this prayer, Lord Jesus, thou who art the way, the truth, and the life, hear us as we pray for the truth that shall make all free. Teach us that liberty is not only to be loved, but also to be lived. Liberty is too precious a thing to be buried in books. It costs too much to be hoarded. Help us see that our liberty is not the right to do as we please, but the opportunity to please to do what is right. Now, something else about the liberty of our country. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice can not sleep forever. See, these words are found a short distance from the Pentagon, inscribed with an iron stylus on blocks of granite on the walls of the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., proclaiming the words of our third president. God offers us life, God offers us liberty, and God offers us happiness. God offers happiness according to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. And Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. John chapter 13 and verse 17. That old song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Happiness is in Jesus Christ. Do you know him today as your Savior? There's a song that says, O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss I now, till now unknown. Do you know him today as your Savior? You can have the life, liberty, and happiness in Jesus Christ if you'll trust him as your Lord and Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.